Yes, waiter, I think we're ready to order now.
Oh, yes, what would you like? I'll get you anything you want, and you don't need to pay me back.
Oh, wonderful. I love a good waiter with jokes. Looking at your menu here, how would you recommend this dish? I've never seen this before. It's a revenge Alfredo?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, to be honest with you... Those with the unrefined palate like it a little chillier, but I prefer to serve Revenge Alfredo piping hot, just to my liking.
Piping hot. Mr. Waiterman, I am a food critic, and I'm here to say I'm going to shut this establishment down because only a true chef would serve a Revenge Alfredo ice. Cold.
Food critics have the power to shut down restaurants.
We're trying. I have six followers on Yelp. I have some authority.
Who do you think Will Rito follows on Yelp? I know he does that. I guarantee it.
You're talking about the guy that likes all of my Venmo transactions.
Yeah, same, same. He does that. He comments on mine.
And I love it every time, so, you know, what am I going to complain? Never. I will complain about this dish, Danny, because, as you know, revenge is a dish best served cold.
So
and that's what we're here to talk about. That is what we're here. Famously. Folks, this is Movies for When. Welcome back. We're starting a new theme here. Thank you all for joining our Oscar discussion, 2023 film discussion, and... We finally finish our first theme of the year.
right Go us!
With, you know, what was it? Too Many Stories, the stupid fucking anthology series.
Yeah, Greg, Too Many Stories and Too Little Time to Tell Them has been the theme of our first theme, I would say. Yeah, I thought 2023 was our worst year, and I'm proud of us for lowering the bar even further. 2024 is easily our worst year so far, and I'm so proud of us.
I'm digging the trench to put that bar as low as it can possibly go.
I'm excited for our redemption arc.
2025 is going to be our year, Denny.
Let's just throw this one out. We're probably not going to get better this year, guys. I'm sorry.
Let's just go through the motions and, you know, we'll sort it out then. It's going to be
Yeah.
Great. It was a leap year. It's tricky.
Oh, dude. That's why I've been so thrown off. That's why.
The groundhog didn't see its shadow. It was a leap year. It's all this. It's all blah, 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 blah. You all get it. So, well,
I'm glad that you found a way to blame this on leap year. that was a good spin leap doctor Dave, over here.
Leap Dave William is here to punish us for our hubris. So
that's the official statement from Movies for When PR about why we haven't had enough episodes this year.
I am also the PR department, unfortunately.
That does count as legwork, I'm afraid. I'm not touching that shit. That's all you, bud.
Follow our Instagram account for wrestling toys. So
it really has just turned into my outlet for shit posting is what it's become. So
the joke here, folks, is Denny's our social media manager. He doesn't do the job very well, but I do love the follow. Your shit is half the reason why most people are here, so, you know, what am I going to complain?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I just like to shitpost wrestling toys and talk about movies. I'm a simple man, and if that doesn't happen as often as it should, maybe we have something to aspire to. Maybe we started out too good, and we needed to get worse so we could appreciate how good we really are.
We started on the apex, and we got to work our way down so we can ride the rails back up. Yes, exactly. 2025, folks. And in the meantime, we do have a new theme. Movies for when your dish is best served cold. Folks, we're doing a revenge movie theme, and I'm really excited about this one. This is my opportunity to get revenge on Denny for some decisions in the last theme. More on that. More on that next week.
I folks, deserve it.
Yes, you do.
I have not been picking good movies.
Speaking of movies you picked, Denny, what movies did you pick to watch? What have you been watching lately since our last episode when we covered the Oscars and other stuff?
I think you'll probably be happy to hear that my watch list is mercifully short this week.
We're only going six deep?
No, less.
Whoa.
My current hyperfixation is the Deadlock Wrestling podcast. And, buddy, there is a lot of content, video and audio, that I've just been diving deep into. But I'll tell you what I didn't watch that I really wanted to see. I planned to go see Love Lies Bleeding this weekend because it looks fucking sick. But I had a really busy weekend. But I'm going to go see it next weekend, so I'm excited.
Good. Nice.
I watched Adam Sandler in Spaceman. Adam Sandler and Paul Dano in the Netflix movie Spaceman. It was really good. Really, really good. I thought, obviously, I have some weird part of my subconscious that like deeply appreciates the work of Adam Sandler and his impact on cinema, as revealed by a weird dream I had and talked about at the end of one of our old episodes. So I love when people are like, Adam Sandler's in this and it's actually good. And I'm like, all right, it's okay to be excited publicly about this. So, dude, it's a dope movie. It's about a Chechnyan cosmonaut who is on a mission by himself to go see a mysterious purple thingy that has just appeared in Earth's skyline. And it's really far away and no one knows why it's there. And he's all by himself, and he starts seeing a telepathic arachnid creature voiced by Paul Dano. And I don't want to get too spoily, but there's a lot of great character work in this. There's a lot of like really, really creative visuals. A lot of stuff that just works at the emotional core. And personally, you know, the Sandman only puts on his working boots once a decade, Greg. You got to enjoy it while it happens.
I'm surprised we got it so soon after Uncut Gems.
I mean, like, what was that, 2017?
Something like that. Yeah, 2017, 2018, maybe.
It's 2024, so I think that puts him on pace for, like, once a decade.
2018 was last year. Shut up.
Well, I'm saying it should be 2037 before he tries again. He will not be trying until 2037. He will continue making grown-up sequels until then. and more power to him. That's the only feature-length film I watched, but I know what the people really come to the podcast for. What? And it's Alvin Ridiculous. And the Chipmunks content.
That's right.
I watched Rockin' with the Chipmunks, also listed on Letterboxd as Chipmunks Rockin' Through the Decades. This is, it unlocked a lot of core memories for me, because I now know that we had the audio cassette of this video in my mom's car when I was growing up. And not cool. only did that introduce me to Alvin and the Chipmunks, but like to most music, pop music, I thought the Chipmunks singing She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah was cool as fuck. And I was like singing it around my dad. And he's like, how do you know that song? I was like, it's this dope Alvin and the Chipmunks song. You've probably never heard of it. And he was like, Denny, that's the Beatles. And I was like, the who? Does anyone give a shit? Alvin and the Chipmunks. Did you hear me, Dad? this was a really, really interesting one. It has original content hosted by Will Smith for the bumpers. And they bring in a lot of celebrities to do little bits and like talking heads, and they get like Shelley Duvall, for example, and Kitty Loggins comes and talks about how he wants to drink beer on this children's VHS. And
cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of fun little Chipmunks numbers of them doing like Crocodile Rock and Beat It. It's pretty sweet. All that goes to say, I texted my mom and told her I found this, and I was like, you are a champion for listening to this in the car all the time, because this is annoying as fuck. And it also ends, it's all like fun and games, and then they end it with this like dog shit original Christmas rap by the Chipmunks, and it's like not a Christmas themed video, and so I don't know what the fuck is going on with that last thing, but other than that it was pretty fun. Like, I would
Christmas
say
Christmas thing that you mentioned before.
I don't know what the fuck that was about. It really confused me, and then they just end it, so we never got explanation for why the Chipmunks chose to express their new 90s funk by rapping about Christmas. But what can I say? The little guys are trying.
Barely. But yeah. Is that all you have?
Oh, dude, that's it. I told you, mercifully short. I did get a lot of minutes out of the Chipmunks VHS that was 25 minutes long, though.
Good lord.
I have a lot of things to say about that tape.
You have a lot of things to say about every Chipmunks tape that you watch. Yeah. Can't wait to hear what's next week.
So. You know there's more, buddy.
All right, I guess my stuff. This is very non-Chipmunks-esque or adjacent films. I watched the new movie Ferrari.
Ooh.
With Adam Driver, directed by Michael Mann. And it was very mid.
Yeah.
Extremely mid. I would say excruciatingly mid. There were some solid performances on top, like at the top of this thing, but like with Penelope Cruz, she is just astonishing in this movie. I loved her. Adam Driver was really good. He did the Italian. I'm doing the hand thing,
yeah.
The Italian hand thing, saying like Adam Driver was the good Italian. But yeah, the story kind of sucked. Shailene Woodley was in it, and like I guess she was kind of trying to pretend to be Italian. It was extremely distracting. Yeah, I wasn't super hot on the movie, but if you like race cars and movies where they race cars, watch Ford versus Ferrari instead.
Damn it, that stole my joke. God damn it. I was about to say, did you watch after the credits and see him get challenged to a fight by Ford? Son
Matt
of a
Damon,
bitch.
Matt Damon comes onto the screen like, I'm putting together a team.
For a car
yes,
convention.
I did.
What? Yeah, yeah. If you're, it's not intense. It's just like, if you want to come to this collaborative car convention, we'll get you.
Do you want to go? Sure, Matt. Yeah, that's a good movie, though. It was fine. Definitely middle of the pack for my 2023 movies. Much older than 2023. The only other thing I watched, because I had a busy week, this is the earliest Stanley Kubrick movie I've seen.
Mm.
The Killing from 1956.
Mm-hmm.
I liked this movie quite a lot.
Yeah.
It was stupid good. I think, you know, we've recently covered The Apartment and what was another black and white movie we did?
Sunset Boulevard.
Sunset Boulevard, thank you, yeah. This movie's from 56. It's like roughly the same time as those two movies.
Yeah.
And it felt a lot more yowza wowza than those other two.
Mm-hmm.
But Kubrick's like masterful like camera work, photography, its direction like keeps you hooked, and then after like 30 minutes you start realizing how engrossed you are in the story, and then like the filmmaking and the photography just like also just stay at that high level. It's really good. I think it's a very cool movie. I wish I had known about it for our you know, our theme about black and white movies. But The Killing is really good. It's just, I don't know, something funny about watching a movie from the year before my parents were born. and like getting something out of it. So extremely good movie with a very good ending. You'll be captivated from start to finish. I think it's if you have Amazon Prime, it's on there for you. It's available for you to watch. So get on that. Would recommend. And I gotta say, man, that's all she wrote. That's all the stuff I watched. I really wanted to watch Spaceman, the Sandman. I really wanted to watch Spaceman, but I just didn't have the time yet. I think I'll report back to you next week on it. I'm based on your review and like what little I've seen about it, I'm pretty excited to look into it.
It's super enjoyable, man, and like not an all-time classic, but like a very good, well-done, creative movie.
That's all I can really ask for after watching Ferrari. So, folks, I don't know if we mentioned the movie we're going to be covering today.
Oh, shit. No, we didn't. Yeah,
we didn't. The movie was lurking in the shadows, actually. If we expose this movie to sunlight or any light for more than 99 minutes, it will dissolve and disappear. So we had to, like, you know, keep it reined in. Mm-hmm. Reining it in. It's a little maestro humor for you. So, our movie this week, Denny's pick to kick off the new theme of movies for when your dish is best served cold. Dark Man from 1990. Oh, buddy. You can watch this thing on AMC Plus, but I'm not falling for that shit again. This was a prime rental. Absolutely.
Greg once had to watch a PG-rated Friday the 13th movie on AMC Plus.
Oh, frick. Jason unalived that girl. A bloodless TV edit bullshit. Dude, I'm still mad about that. I'm glad you remembered what I was talking about.
Oh, I remember that very well. I think of it every time I see fucking AMC Plus recommended to me on my fucking search.
That was over a year ago. Makes me so mad. Anyways. Denny, this was your pick. Yeah. I'll let you summarize the plot, and then I'll do a critical review of the week for us.
Sweet. Basically, Liam Neeson is this scientist who's like trying to like make fake human tissue. But his partner Frances McDormand is in the mix with the wrong people in the city and runs afoul of a gangster that blows everything up and cuts off fingers and shit. So he goes over to Liam Neeson's house and laboratory and like blows everything up, and they tell his wife he's dead. But it turns out he's actually just like a Freddy Krueger guy now from the nose down. This makes him feel powerfully insecure. But it's also made him like an angry little goblin man sometimes. And so he goes on a revenge quest, killing all the people, cloning himself into other dudes that look like bad dudes but aren't bad dudes. And there's a lot of Three Stooges bits in here. Long story short, he goes back to his wife and is like, could you love me if I were a fucked up fucking freak? And she's like, sure, whatever. And
she says, yeah.
Yeah, but then he says, fuck off, I'm Dark Man. Just fucking leaves her and goes off to live his own life after all that.
Folks, if that sounded manic, psychotic, or otherwise incomprehensible, Denny delivered an astoundingly well
well exactly what watching the movie is like.
And that's why this movie is enjoyable, is because that is an accurate summary of the plot. So if you can't handle it at its Denny-est, you won't like it at its Raimi-est. So if I may. So
you may.
Ooh. Gladly will. So, I'll get into the critiquer review of the week. For this movie was covered on the Red Letter Media channel, their Ooh. Video series The Review. Mm-hmm. They did it a little over a year ago, and I will say, I'll do the review first. But the review comes from the comment section of that video. where
so this is the YouTube review of the week, not the critical review of the week.
The YouTube review of a comment of a review of the We need more layers. Just like that guy's skin in the movie, you see. But this commenter said, and they were pretending to quote Spielberg, saying, "I'm doing a movie about the Holocaust. I need a good lead. Get me that guy from Darkman." Folks, I'm glad Steven said those exact words and came to that conclusion. Damn. If you want some genuinely, like, interesting, maybe not takes, but, like, interesting history on certain things on the movie, some very good details about the film, watch the Red Letter Media review on Darkman. There's some pretty cool facts in there that I don't think you would even find on the Wikipedia page. That seems like it was just those guys noticing things.
Yeah.
We're here more to talk about our feelings on the movie, our vibes in general. So that's kind of what the podcast is. So, Denny, what is your relationship with Darkman? Why did you pick this for our revenge theme?
Man, so it was like right at the start of my try to see every movie ever made era, I would say, which is years and years ago. Vanessa and I were at Movie Trading Co.
And how'd it go?
I'm working on it. I'm about 1,100 in. I don't know how many there are, so... we're walking around Movie Trading Co. just looking for something to watch. Holy shit, this is the night that we did pick The Postman. But the runner-up that night was... I was just walking through looking at titles, and I was like, what the fuck is Darkman? That's like the stupidest fucking name for a movie I've ever heard. What the fuck? Liam Neeson's in it?
Yep.
And then I was like, I have to see this. And I looked it up a little bit. It was basically like, yeah, Sam Raimi made this. And it was because he like wanted to get the rights to Batman but couldn't do it. So he just made up his own guy and called him Darkman. And I was like, I've got to fucking see this shit. So I got it and really thought it was a wild time. But I only watched it the once. And it was a long time ago. So I was really looking forward to this rewatch. I kind of forgot about it, to be honest.
So you're telling me that Darkman is not based on any sort of comic book?
No, it is. I think it's like called The Shadow. There's a big...
Because there was a movie, The Shadow, right?
I believe what I read is that Sam Raimi wanted The Shadow and wanted Batman, but couldn't get either. So he basically took a lot of the story from The Shadow and then hired the composer of Batman to score his fucking movie. And Danny Elfman is just hitting Batman riffs in this movie the whole fucking time. If you've seen 1989's Batman, this is the fucking soundtrack, you know? Like, anyway.
Yeah, The Shadow, which came out a few years later and stars Alec Baldwin. I think I'll pick Darkman over that any day. Yeah, I gotta say.
Yeah. What about you? Any relationship with it?
No relationship with it. I feel like I knew in my head that Liam Neeson was in this one. Mm-hmm. I never watched it. It wasn't really on my radar. The poster looks familiar in my mind, but I don't have any like specific memories with it. Mm-hmm. I saw that Red Letter Media did that review that I was talking about earlier. But I didn't watch that because I hadn't seen the movie. But when you suggested it for this theme, and I got excited to watch that. And then I immediately watched their video on it. So I would recommend it. It's
pretty
interesting.
Reviews some of the stuff series.
Some of the stuff that you mentioned, they did mention in the video too. It's cool. There's a lot of interesting and weird stuff involving this movie, and I can't wait for you to learn more about it.
Yeah, I totally. Glossed over that one. I had no idea they covered it.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just one of those ones. Just like one of those movies that are like, why are they picking this? Oh, okay. I guess so. It is a one of a kind movie from 1990. So, you know, yep. That's kind of what correct. They get into. So Denny, I guess we'll get into it. What are your initial thoughts? How do you feel about picking this one?
I'm glad I did. I don't know how I feel about picking it when I did, subjecting you to more of this shit.
I'm fine with it this time.
All right, I'm glad we don't have another four rooms on our hands.
Not this time. You're good.
Man, I honestly, I think, you know, I said I watched it at the beginning of my See Everything era, and I think having seen a lot more movies, like 1,000 more movies since the last time I watched this, I think I appreciated it better because I better understood what it was trying to do. You know, like at the time I was like, okay, this is wacky Army of Darkness style bullshit. You know, like, I think I appreciated the comedy a lot more because there's a lot of like filmmaking comedy, you know, like with like how they do the camera and how they edit stuff, you know, like that's not necessarily a gag, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I didn't know this was a Sam Raimi film until...
Oh!
Maybe the... Was it the opening credits, or was it, like, the opening scene when I was like, this has his kind of fingerprints all over it. I don't remember when I think it was when I saw his name, I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
All right, and then I buckled in for the ride that I knew I was in for.
Awesome!
The movie starts out with a cool little intro. It's like the 75th anniversary of Universal Studios, and they had the Universal Pictures Presents. They did all the logos. They did all the logos. It's really padded the runtime.
I made a note about that. I originally thought it was like a Sam Raimi choice because the movie has so much like 30s horror elements, you know, but like I don't remember Universal doing this. Do you?
I can't think of another one, but I guess we got to watch more films from 1990, Denny. But yeah, like on the very last one, it says Universal Pictures 75th anniversary, and I was like, oh, that's why they did all those.
But it's not like edited well, it's just like one after another, like four or five disjointed clips of
start
the Universal logo.
And stop.
Yeah.
And start and stop. Yeah, it doesn't flow together with one kind of like bridged musical piece. It's all just kind of like played in its entirety, fade to black, start the next one.
It just keeps going. That's why I thought, I was like, is this like a meta thing? Or like, because like every so often I feel like a big studio will give like custom titles to a movie, and I thought that's what was going on. But then it said it was for the anniversary, and I was like, this is so weird. It was very jarring.
You're right to feel that way, because it took until the third one for me to realize that they weren't just like, it wasn't a directorial choice.
Yeah.
But I was lost for a minute there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, like, you want to just talk about that opening scene?
Yeah.
For a sec? Yeah. In that warehouse?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That scene's fucking Eddie Black, man. What a character.
Just like, we have literally everything. This is an extremely 1990 scene.
Yeah.
Aggressively so. And I think the moment that really put a smile on my face, I was like starting to like get a grin when we pulled off the prosthetic leg that had a gun attached.
God,
to it.
That was no leg.
But I was grinning ear to ear when the cars with fully armed men shooting guns burst out of like giant wooden boxes. Like, the cars with armed men were waiting inside the wooden boxes to just drive out of there and open fire at any given moment. I loved that. I was like, hell yeah, dude, this is what it's all about.
What broke the awesomeness seal for me is Eddie's on the phone at the start of the movie, and he's like, tell him no, tell him no, tell him fuck you. Like, just, I don't know, something about the way he delivered it was so fucking, I was like, let's fucking go, this character rocks, this actor rocks, let's do this shit.
A phone, by the way, that was like connected to a briefcase, so
the phone itself was probably a more dangerous weapon than most of the guns in the scene.
It was the most dangerous prop on set at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Dude, my only gripe with that scene is I wish it could have, like, lasted longer. You know, like, and I wish they didn't kill such a cool character right away, but boy, did it establish that, like, I don't remember the villain's name. It's something kind of generic.
Durant.
Durant, yeah.
Kevin
this
Durant.
You want to see this guy get his fucking ass kicked, because he just fucking mutilated and tortured, like, the coolest fucker you've ever seen. Like, fuck.
You thought this was the bad guy. Oh, no, no. This is the bad guy.
No, I really did think that was going to be the bad guy, and then he gets rolled up on by someone who, like, fucking sucks and isn't charismatic and isn't cool, which is a great choice for your bad guy.
I had in my notes how much I actually really liked that character.
I mean, like, when I say not charismatic, I don't mean
compared to, yeah, what we just came from.
He's a cartoon character that he's, like, Eddie's a cartoon boss, you know, like, and then, like, a corporate suit walks up and is like, I'm actually just going to cut your fucking fingers off with my cigar cutter, so fuck you.
Yeah, I really liked, Larry Drake is the name of the actor that played Durant. I really liked him throughout the entire movie. I thought he was, like, for a Raimi movie villain, was very subdued and subtle, but, like, no, he wasn't. But that villain could have been, like, a lot more cornball and, like, I don't know, just over the top. But I thought he played it in such a cool, kind of reserved way for not even being, like, the ultimate big bad.
Yeah.
He was, I don't know. He really stood out to me, was genuinely kind of menacing on screen, despite being, like, almost looking like a wax figure half the time.
That was weird. Like, there's one point where, like, it's because his face is, like, melting or something, that they have, like, a wax sculpt on his face of his own face. But I was like, I can't tell if, like, something fucked up is about to happen to his face, or if he just always looks this way. Because he definitely looked this way at some other points of the movie.
It might just be the haircut and, like, the eyes, but he definitely looks like a garbage pail kid that grew up. Like, respectfully.
That's a great description.
I don't think that can ever be construed as respectful, but that's all I got.
If he wanted to be treated respectfully, maybe he shouldn't have taken the role in Darkman, okay? Like, I don't know what
maybe,
to tell you.
Maybe don't look like that.
Loser. No, but I respect a villain who's not cool. You know, like, it's the wrestling fan in me. The bad guy's supposed to get booze, man. You're not supposed to be like, that's so cool. It fucking buries the good guy when, like, you think fucking Luke. You think Frodo Baggins is fucking cooler than Sauron?
Sauron's the man.
Whew, I almost broke the rule. The one rule. We
almost talked about the wrong franchise. The franchise that is, of course, supported by our sponsor, Cerveza Cristal. Cerveza Cristal. Cerveza
Cristal. Cerveza Cristal. But we stole their sponsorship from them. Now we're the new franchise.
That's right. I think. I gotta try some first. Yeah, hit me with another note, Denny. What do you got?
Man, if you have seen, like, what is up with fucking Sam Raimi's hand fetish? Like, he's like the Tarantino of hands. Have you seen that shit?
Hands, and also, like, stop motion goblin-y hands.
Yeah. Like, there are hands on screen in this movie fucking constantly. Evil Dead 2 has a whole fucking, like, B story around a hand. And, like, Spider-Man's shooting webs out of his hands all the time. Like, this man, he gets away with it because, like, feet are creepier, but, like, he shoots way more hands than Tarantino shoots feet, and no one is talking about it.
I mean, they're kind of, like, you know, we got a scientist character, we've got, you know, all sorts of people, like, looking over documents. Like, hands are going to be featured prominently, and then Evil Dead, you know, it's a cool thing, or I guess like a horror thing to chop someone's hand off, turn it into a chainsaw, for example. You know, hands are much more prominently used than feet, I will say, and more commonly filmed. So, but I will say they do get a lot of close-up time. They do get a lot of prosthetic, a lot of creepy and weird shit happens to them in his movies. This one is no exception, despite not really commanding that. So, I don't know. Is there a hand thing? I guess I don't really care.
I don't care. I just noticed it. I've seen, like, plenty of Sam Raimi content, and this movie just had so many hands that I was like, does he usually do this? And then I thought about it, and I was like, yeah, he does, actually. Like, there's a lot of hand stuff in Sam Raimi movies. Dude loves hand stuff. You heard it here, people. Sam Raimi loves hand stuff.
He's just an old-fashioned guy. So, yeah, man, I don't know how to build off hand stuff, so I'm going to continue on with the story, maybe. Maybe our actors. We've got an early Francis McDormand and Liam Neeson as a couple. You called them husband and wife, but they are not.
They're not. They're not.
Boyfriend and girlfriend, and Liam Neeson even proposes, and she said, I'll think about it. That's basically a yes, right? I don't know. I recently watched the Sam Raimi movie, what was it, Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
That's a similar sort of campiness of, like, the dream couple on the cusp of just, like, making it together, and they're gonna get married and all this kind of stuff. These scenes that are played very tenderly, but, like, almost a sarcastic sort of tenderness.
Yeah.
They're cheesy on purpose kind of feeling. And that's how the scenes with Neeson and McDormand kind of play. And I think it serves the kind of overall tone of the movie, because that you won't believe it, but Drag Me to Hell also goes into a little bit of a dark direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like those scenes. I do have to say, kind of after the turn, Liam Neeson wearing a mask of his old face plays himself as creepily as possible.
Yeah. He absolutely does.
The scene where he, like, reveals himself to Frances McDormand, she is grieving at his grave. He's been dead for, I think, weeks at that point. And he chooses to show up again to her in the creepiest way imaginable. It's...
I wrote this note, Greg. I was like, at your own graveside has got to be the worst place to tell your partner you're still alive.
No.
To ambush your partner.
Correct, but not at his own gravesite. 30 feet back there, backed by the sun at dusk by an even bigger grave, saying, I've returned.
They're fucking rolling up like a Night of the Living Dead zombie. Like, they're coming to get you, Barbara ass. Like...
Yes, exactly.
That's what that scene reminded me of.
He was both that guy and the zombie at the same time.
I was like, dude, the autistic guy is critiquing your timing, dog. Like,
yeah, Denny's telling you how to better read social cues. Brother, you got issues. If I may, sorry.
No, you may. You may.
Oh, yes, I may. It was a very goofy decision. I think... Do you have anything else to say on that scene? Because I have another big point to get into.
Nah, it's all you.
Do you have any creepy relationship observations with them? It's very funny the time they spend together.
Man, I just... my note was like, it's 1990. Send an email to say you're still alive and you'd like to meet up later. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know, man. Their relationship was honestly not something I put a ton of stock into, just because, like... I don't think the movie really beseeched me to take it seriously.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't hinge on that at all. Yeah. So.
I kind of forgot Frances McDormand was in it sometimes, because she has like a handful of scenes that are like very critical to the movement of the story, but there's like long periods of just like dark man losing his shit and like going full Cage method as the mummy tin man and just like doing bonkers ass shit. And then it'll be like Frances McDormand is like doing this like fucking corporate espionage drama on the side.
Which she is very good at. I will
no,
say,
she's amazing but... at it. It's just like out of a different fucking movie is all. Like,
this is also going on? Yeah, I understand.
With your fucking Ed Helms ass corporate villain, like.
Oh, that's a good. Yeah, that's a good call.
Oh, it's all I could think of the whole time he was on screen.
Yeah, he's punching a wall in Dunder Mifflin, and we're just like, oh man. I will say though, I think this has got to be my main problem with the movie. And I talked about it a little bit with, you know, Darkman choosing to show himself to his betrothed, future betrothed, mm-hmm. grieving partner in the middle of the daylight. I thought Darkman, it was teased earlier on that, you know, we're trying to discover this synthetic skin, trying to create like a human shell, a human mask that can... last and the
what a
the
convenient
one the
profession by the way for very what happened to him.
Very weird profession.
All-timer convenient convenient writing.
But also no it wasn't, because the one discovery they made before he died was the synthetic skin can last forever in the dark. And he chooses the entire movie to only wear the synthetic skin during the daytime.
Dude, that was...
I thought...
This would be a darker movie?
Like, lighting-wise, I guess, but... You know, the poster, it's this man, he's got a big hat. He looks like the Invisible Man, right? He's got all these bandages over his face. So I'm like, oh, he's got to cover himself... during the day so that when it's dark, Darkman can wear his face and be out. And he's gotta, you know, beat the sunrise to get back to his lair before his skin melts off. It's the opposite.
Yes.
He never capitalizes on the fact that this skin, this synthetic skin, can last forever in the dark. He always goes out at night, full bandage on, over his freak skin, or lack thereof, if I may, and only puts on his synthetic mask during the day on a stopwatch. I genuinely thought, because they make that discovery early on before the turn happens, I seriously thought we're like, okay, he's going to wear the mask, he's going to be his old self, but he can only do it at night. He can only wear skin at night, and he never does it a single time. It's always going out gallivanting at night wearing his bandages, and every time he's in the daylight, he's wearing the disguises that are going to melt in 99 minutes. Why did they do this?
Could you love me if I needed blackout curtains in our house? I don't know. Like, because it's like a just like, do you think our relationship could still exist if I usually needed to stay inside? Like, that's not very high stakes, I guess. So they just had to make him kind of dumb. You know, like, I thought that, like, the other thought I did have about their relationship is I was like, it establishes that the superhero's only weakness is being bad at time management. Because she's always like, the only thing that's suspicious to her is like, you're always running off, saying you're in a rush to get somewhere. And he's like, no, I'm not. Oh my god, I literally have to leave right now. It's running away and fucking melting. It's like, dude, if you could just be a little more planful, you could actually probably keep this secret from her. You know? Like,
but he wanted the pink elephant, Danny.
He wanted the pink elephant. Dude, everything around that pink elephant, when they did the close-up and did the elephant noise in the skin. Bro, the way they edited some of the superhero-ass shit was so fucking funny to me, man. Like, so fucking just great camp. Great camp.
Yeah, exactly. Very good camp. Do you have any specific superhero stuff that was very Raimi-esque super camp?
It's like, I feel like this movie, and it's not perfect because Army of Darkness did come out a couple years after it, but like, I feel like you can literally see him transition from Evil Dead to Spider-Man in this movie. Of like, it's like the in-between space. And I really think like a lot of the visual storytelling reminds me of 2002 Spider-Man, at least. Not as much the I don't know, the cemetery scene actually did invoke the Spider-Man 2, like, or is it 3, when he's like, this ring meant something to me, or I don't know, he's like crying to Kirsten Dunst about a ring or something.
That sounds like 3. I don't remember. I haven't seen him in a while.
I thought that like a lot of the visual storytelling reminded me of the 01-02 Spider-Man.
02, yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, if you watch 02 Spider-Man back now, like, it plays kind of like Darkman. Like, it's like fucking, it's like Power Rangers, man. Like, it's fucking goofy, like, doesn't take itself seriously at all, you know? And, like, I even feel like you could see a little bit of Defoe's Green Goblin in the Darkman character if you're looking for it. I feel like he's got some shared elements.
I could see that. And this is something they discussed a little bit in the Red Letter Media video, is like, this is kind of a superhero movie, and they talk the same about that Spider-Man movie, of just like, it doesn't take itself too seriously, but that doesn't mean it's trying to mock any serious moments. There are like,
yeah,
moments that the story takes seriously, but the movie understands that the audience isn't necessarily supposed to.
Yeah.
And they specifically talk about a moment in like the newest Spider-Man movie where like Dr. Octavius introduces himself to like, you know, the new Peter Parker and you know, Zendaya or whatever. And they, like, laugh at his name, like, oh, seriously? That's your name? Where it's just, like, it feels like maybe the only sense of humor you can really have with this kind of movie is kind of mocking any sense of taking any part of the originals seriously at all, or any serious subject matter, like, seriously at all.
I feel like those movies are mocking me as an audience member for caring. And then I stop. I'm like, you know what? If you're going to make fun of me for being invested in your movie, I'll go fuck myself. Thanks a lot, Zendaya. Like, I'll just go fuck myself. Thank you.
Now you know how I felt during Silver Linings Playbook. Anyways, so... they laid it out a lot better than I could, but that's... I kind of had that... I felt that before because I watched the movie first, and then watching their video, it made a whole lot of sense. This... It's the Raimi tone of just like, we're on set and we're making a movie to have a good time, and the story may take itself seriously, but we're never going to like really like ham it up and insist that this is serious. You know, that's the other Marvel problem. I think it was like, it's why I never finished watching Black Widow, because it just demanded that you take it seriously, and it's just like, okay, but, like, what if I don't, though? So
yeah, like, it's a nice balance, you know? Like, it's a nice balance. And I do think it definitely, like, it reminds me of a lot of, like, now that I'm thinking back, like, Batman movies where it's, like, there'll just be, like, bonkers shit going on with, like, Jim Carrey and Jack Nicholson, and they'll be, like, walking fucking cartoon characters, and then there'll be, like, a serious romance. You know, like, it'll just... Mm-hmm. Every so often, Bruce Wayne goes on a date or something like that, so... I hear that. Yeah, I definitely see the comparison there, and, man, I guess it's, like... It's something that stuck with me from film school. There was a... Because I always tried to make comedy, and, it's because I didn't take shit seriously, to be honest. You know, like, one of my professors was like, even if you're making comedy, take the process seriously. And I feel like there is so much filmmaking involved in this, like, fucking goofball, stupid, clearly passion project for a really weird guy movie. But, like, the set design, and again, like, I thought a lot of the comedy was in the camera direction and in the editing, and you know, yeah, like, it's like this is very, very thoughtful and planful comedy that took a lot of work to produce, and I think it kind of masquerades behind like something that's just like overtly stupid, for lack of a better term, you know, like it's like advertising how stupid it is. Like, that's what got me interested in it, is I saw the title and I was like, who fucking titles a movie Darkman, you know, like, and holy shit, I watched it. I bought it twice. Like, I loved it.
Oh, brother. Yeah, it's just like those, that camera work you're talking about, you know, like, it just, the camera moves in on a character really quickly. There's all those POV shots that I really love, either from, like, a flying object or from a person. Like, there's the ones where, like, Liam Neeson is getting thrown into, like, that vat of synthetic skin. And it's, like, his POV of him getting thrown in there. It's just, like, stuff like that is just... You don't do that if you're trying super-duper hard to make it, like, super-duper serious.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to make it exciting and engaging, and you can take it as seriously as you want to. It is a way to tell the story that is as serious as a story like this would command.
Yeah,
I guess it's equally matched in tone for what's required of telling a story like this.
Yeah, you know, one of our favorite words is coming to my mind right now, Greg.
Is
joyful.
Joyful. Yeah.
Joyful. This is a joyful movie.
But is it triumphant? Christmas is later, though.
Tell that to Alvin and the Chipmunks. They think it's really fucking now. They decide what Christmas is, bitch. You don't get a say in this. It's at the end of your VHS, whether you want it or not.
Damn. Guess we're going to have to rap about it. Drop me a beat, Benny.
Sleigh rap. It's fucking awful. That rap was shit. Sorry, Alvin. You're better than that.
And the Chipmunks. I like that this movie had exploding cars for the sake of having exploding cars. I'm never going to complain about that.
No. Where do you rank Darkman's blowed up laboratory among secret layers?
I don't know. Pretty low. Every time they cut to it, you're like, okay, why are we at, like, the, what was it, like, a flower shop and, like, a restaurant? Like, oh, the lab's, like, upstairs in this building. Like, I forgot. It was above all these other things. I like that it exploded. That was fun.
That was pretty cool, yeah. It seemed like it seemed like a shit place to hang out. You know, like...
Not was, chill.
Yeah, very unkept. Very strange that all the sophisticated laboratory equipment survived, and honestly, I didn't even question it till now.
Not even all of it. He just, like, happened to fashion it back together so goddamn well, and it just kind of stayed working.
You know what we haven't really talked about, Greg?
What?
The revenge aspect of this movie.
I was going to get to that eventually. Ah. Yeah. So this is our revenge theme. I would like to touch on the revenge themes of the movie. So, Denny, this is a revenge thriller, allegedly. So what do you think of the revenge in this movie?
I think it would make a great epic revenge pranks compilation. what say you?
I agree. Revenge pranks compilation. Hot damn. That's perfect. I think this was, in addition to thinking that the story was going to go in some sort of logical way in terms of how the superhero works.
That ended up not being important at all.
Yeah, it didn't end up being important at all. And, like, I thought we were going to get, like, our revenge was going to just be the guy comes back to life and starts killing off the people that put him into this situation, basically. You know, took his girlfriend away from him, his life away from him. I thought he was just going to go on a killing spree. You know, something like that. That wound up not being the case. And... as progressively juvenile as the acts of vengeance became, I found myself a lot more interested in the way the things turned out this way. I was very engaged, in fact, with how he decided to exact his revenge on this gang that he knew nothing of before They tried to kill him, so.
Don't you dare fucking turn me into a Freddy Krueger Hellraiser guy. I'll fucking teach you.
No, that's exactly what they did. Oh, no.
I love the escalation of poor Liam Neeson's life. He's, like, totally hanging out, living a normal life. And then one day these dudes he's never met show up and are like, all right, we're going to kill your assistant. Bang! All right, tell us what we want to know. No? Blow up!
Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
What the fuck is going on right now, guys? Like,
what memorandum, what the fuck? And they pull a Looney Tunes murder on him, and he blows up out the window and into the river.
Oh, oh my man. God.
Which I guess I do have a lot to say on, which, like, we have, you know, the out of nowhere murder on our poor guy, Mr. Mm-hmm. Neeson, and he gets blown out of a window into the river in a flaming heap of human flesh, which is played for a laugh, which mm-hmm. worked for me. And then, like, some random hospital, I guess he, like, floats down river, and they pick him up, and they're like, this sick freak is, we took away his nerve ending, so he no longer feels pain, and they're just like, oh, interesting, doctor, and that's
and then he just jumps out a window, and they never see him again.
he wiggles his way out of whatever harness is going on here, the little spinning thing where I expect a carnival man to throw knives at him, and yeah, he just escapes this weirdo hospital that was holding him for some reason.
His, like, I am Batman phrase should have been like, fuck off, I'm Darkman. Like, that's just what he always does. He's like, actually, fuck you, and runs away.
Like, it's warranted every time, for sure.
I don't know, man. I don't think Francis McDormand deserved it. I don't think it was warranted at all in that time.
Hey, speaking of, I was going to say ripping off Batman, but Batman ripped off this.
Yeah.
The Dark Knight ripped off the scene where Darkman is holding the bad guy by the ankle in the building that is under construction. And the bad guy says, your morals won't allow you to kill me. Does this sound familiar 18 years later?
And they're
Christopher
just,
Nolan is a hack.
They're just giving Best Picture out to anyone nowadays, you know?
That's right. And not... fucking,
didn't Doctor Strange win? It's gonna. Like, I'm kidding. That was a not Marvel movies getting nominated joke.
And not Darkman? Unacceptable.
But yeah, fucking slapped. I've never seen a Marvel movie this good, dude. Never. None of them are as good as Darkman.
Oh, but what about the one where they ate sandwiches after beating the gray guys? Oh, man.
That could be any of them. You're going to have to be more specific than that, bud.
My apologies to our middle school listeners.
If you're a middle schooler listening to this and you're not, like, a friend of the family to one of us, don't contact us. We're in our 30s. Like, I hope you enjoy our movie thoughts, though.
Yeah, this podcast hasn't yet been posted on TikTok, so, you know, they're not part of the audience.
Well, we really missed the fucking chance to do that, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Current events. You know what, guys? I think next year we're finally going to have the Movies for Win TikTok account. I'm finally going to get around to making it next year.
Yeah, we'll get a VPN to fucking Hong Kong. And
for that one person that, like, that listens to us in, like, fucking Portugal or whatever, whoever's VPN is popping up as a Latin American country, I want you to know you make me happy when I look at our demographics of listeners.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the Santiago Chilean listener to send us our Cerveza Cristal.
Please, we are counting on this.
Exactly. But yeah, anyways, the revenge in this movie, I think that's where we're going.
Oh, yeah.
I like that this wasn't just a killing spree.
Yes.
I like that it was, these guys are a gang, I'm going to fuck with their business.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very elaborate series of pranks, but it was also very dangerous. There was a lot of tension with those scenes. Mm-hmm. But it was... It did go on a little bit too long in that direction. It's like, okay, you can kill some of them now, Dark Man.
And at times, honestly, a lot of the doppelganger stuff was kind of hard to keep track of. Like, I definitely forgot, like, which ones were Dark Man and which ones were the real ones at times.
Totally understandable. I gotta say, I think the worst example is during the... what is it, a refinery fight towards the end? They find Dark Man's
lab. And one of the many empty industrial fight spaces in this movie.
we have the cardboard box factory at the beginning. And we have the abandoned sand factory or whatever the fuck at the end.
If I
Dark
found
Man
out
does his experiments.
They just used one set and like focused on different parts of it for all of them, I would totally believe it.
I would praise the movie even more.
Absolutely.
But yeah, the worst version of this, like, clever sort of revenge is when the villain's name is Smiley. He's the guy that is always laughing, in that he always has a laugh track playing over him, not actually laughing. It's very funny. But he has a machine gun. Dark Man incapacitates his partner, puts duct tape over his mouth, puts a mask on him, and then makes Smiley kill his own partner, basically, and then jumps out of the darkness and beats the shit out of this guy.
That was
his machine
so
gun,
fucking awesome.
He takes his machine gun away, beats him up, throws him into the boxes, and you're like, okay, this guy's out of the picture, right? And then Dark Man proceeds to pull an elaborate prank on this man by, when he comes to, he has all the gas tanks in his own lab leaking gas, and then a hologram of a little birdie that's going to, you know, one of those dipping drink birds that's going to set off a lighter. It's a callback to the beginning of the movie. And it's going to explode the warehouse. Smiley slowly walks up to it, realizes it's a hologram, looks behind him, and then the real one blows up Dark Man's lab. Dark Man blew up his own lab as elaborately as possible to kill one guy that he had already knocked out and could have easily just shot.
Dude, it's like, he's Batman. He's got that scientific detective mind, but his Morgan Freeman that gets him all his tech is fucking Mo from the Three Stooges.
I love that, personally. His guy in the van is playing a slide whistle.
Poke him in the eyes, Doc Man. Oh shit. No joke, it shows up in this movie and in Army of Darkness, and at times it's annoying in both. Sam Raimi is a huge Three Stooges fan. That's why I keep bringing them up. Like, this is like directly inspired by the Three Stooges.
The eye poking stuff.
No, it's intentional.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, yeah, he's trying to pay homage to them. Like,
but
Sam Raimi's such a weird fucking guy.
I'm glad he gets money to make movies.
Me too. He's one of the coolest guys ever in Hollywood, dude.
And we talk shit about the Marvel movies, and his most recent movie is the most recent Doctor Strange movie, which I didn't see and won't see.
It was actually the last Marvel movie I saw. Like, I was seriously like, beyond done with these, hate them, can't stand them, but I'll go see it because, like, Sam Raimi won't make a bad movie. And he didn't, but, like, all the good parts were just Evil Dead references, and I've already got perfectly good Evil Dead movies. I don't have to fucking sit through fucking Scarlet Witch
I've got Evil Dead in spades. Yeah, I don't have to watch fucking... I already did this bit. She-Hulk season 4 or whatever. Okay. That's Love Lies Bleeding, sorry.
Yes. Speaking of Evil Dead references, how about Mr. Bruce Campbell front and center to close the show?
I was I was beside myself. He showed up at the end. It was just like, you're kind of waiting for the cameo, but at a certain point you get like, you know, you get engrossed with the story. You're maybe not expecting it so much. You just kind of, it kind of slips out of your mind, and then it shows up at the very last shot.
He's just like dead center of the screen, just staring into your eyes. And I was like, that's right, I was waiting for him to show up.
Here the fuck I am. There he was.
Yeah. Well, I read today that he was Sam Raimi's choice for Darkman, but the studio didn't think he could handle the role. And it's kind of implied at the end that Darkman could be anyone and might be this Bruce Campbell guy because he can make any sort of disguise. And so part of me thinks it was like, fuck you. I made Bruce Campbell Darkman anyways, you fucking studio. Like, I feel like that might have been him doing it.
Darkman's ultimate form is the guy that wanted the job in the first place. Hell yeah. That he wanted to give it to the whole time. Well, shit, man. I'm kind of all out of notes here. I'm not going to lie.
I think I'm good.
You kept bringing up exactly like my next note the whole time. That was like, man, that was guided without being planned at all. So yeah, well, nice. Done.
Love when we're on the same frequency. Oh, one thing that I just thought you would think was neat. This is not necessarily discussion, just a stray note. Reportedly, uncredited, the Coen brothers punched up this script.
Yeah, I think they mentioned this in the Red Letter Media video. I think like the Coen brothers and Francis McDormand and I think also Sam Raimi were all like living together in L.A. when this was made.
I think
and like for a while, like early on in the 80s and 90s during all their like career starts.
I think either Ethan or Joel is credited in the original Evil Dead, like worked on the project. I forget which one.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's fucking dope, dude. It's fucking dope. I wish they'd collab more, honestly. Those are some of the goats.
Yeah, if I could be roommates with any directors, I feel like it would be those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. There are kind of film nerds. I feel like if I lived with like Tarantino and Rodriguez, they would like drive me up a fucking wall, man. Like, I don't feel like I would enjoy hanging out with those two at all, even though they're amazing.
Like, I like your projects, but goddamn. Like, if I wake up with you taking pictures of my feet one more time,
swear to fucking God.
Exactly. Yeah, the Coen brothers are my dream filmmaker roommate scenario.
That'd be rad.
Denis Villeneuve would be too serious, I feel like.
I feel like I could hang out with Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell. I've watched a lot of their content, and it seems like they really get my sense of humor, so I think we'd get along fine.
Yeah, I could see that. You guys would have a lot of fun together.
I hope they'd think I was cool enough to hang with them. Like, I think those are, like, two of the coolest fucking dudes to ever walk the face of the earth, man. Like, I really do.
Oh, yeah. And I know you do. Damn, what an appreciative guy. Fill out the roommate application, Denny.
Yeah.
All right. Are we, I think we're all set.
Yeah, man. I'm groovy.
Ready to gimmick it up?
You know I am.
All right. Our gimmick of the week this week. We have a new gimmick this week. It's a new theme. It's a new gimmick, folks. I'm going to ask Denny about it. I need to know his take on what is the coldest dish for Darkman. Open to interpretation.
You know, runners up to the manhole roadkill and to the you have been a bad boy punches. Those were both phenomenal. But I would say the best, the coldest dish was going to a carnival and winning an elephant plushie, because the best revenge is living well, Greg. He seemed like he was having a nice day for once. And I think, you know, as Darkman's therapist, I think if he focuses his energy more on activities like that and less on activities like murder, he might find his peace.
Denny's so insightful, really proving why he got that license every day.
What say you, Greg?
My coldest dish is when I realized this was not going to be like any sort of revenge movie I've ever seen. It is when we got Durant to throw Polly out of his window with like the plane ticket trick, We stole money from the mob, and then we did an elaborate trick to get the bad guy to throw the bad guy out the window onto a car. It was a very elaborate prank that went a little too well, and I really liked that scene a lot.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
I was like, this was really smart when it didn't need to be, and honestly, I don't think makes a lot of sense with the character, but I'm really glad it was here.
I was so along for the ride that I didn't think at all about how, like, unnecessarily contrived all of his plans are until he started bringing it up, and I was like, what the fuck, Dark Man? Like, this movie could have been, like, 20 minutes like, if you just, like, shot some people and stayed inside. Short fucking movie, problem solved, guy.
His insistence on making it interesting is what makes it so unbelievable.
Yes. Like, he's doing it for the theatrics of it. Like, this man, he's a showman. I've got to give him that.
Oh, no. Is Darkman a theater kid? Oh, brother.
Oh, yes. Bro, all right, did you see the fucking Tin Man scene? You think this guy's never put on tap shoes and auditioned for Wizard of Oz?
Oh, shit. I think you're right. All right, there goes my score. So, what's your favorite line for Darkman?
I'll give a couple runners up to the containers you spoke of just being labeled flammable gas, as though that is what is supposed to be there, and not like, it doesn't say like caution flammable gas. It was like, here's a flammable gas container in case you ever need gas that can explode in bulk.
Here's the flammable gas you ordered. Thank you so much.
We need you to sign this paper saying you promise not to do an arson for liability purposes.
Finally, the flammable gas I ordered. I need it for all the my flammable gas needs.
Another runner-up to, I was engaged to a girl once with a wooden leg. Oh yeah? What happened? Had to break it off! That was a great bit. But I'm going to give it to, it was a whole exchange that I didn't record line for line, but this was like the funniest part of the movie. It's right before the infamous graveyard reveal scene we were talking about, when the gravedigger's talking and someone's like,
oh my god,
didn't see you doing much work. He was like, all they found was an ear. Didn't take me long at all to bury. I was like, you buried the ear? That was so fucking funny to me that everyone came out for a funeral for an ear. Like, the gravedigger actually buried it. He wasn't like, he said like, oh, the work was easy, not I didn't do any work. That was so, just such a like funny idea to me that I just like fucking cracked up.
The smaller percentage of remaining body there is, the shallower you can bury it.
Easy day. I love when amputees roll into the shop. Half the work, same pay.
It's the gravedigger's code. It's part of their union agreement. The less guy there is, the shallower I gotta bury him. No, I really like that scene too. It definitely stuck out as like the perfect like camp example of just like being said seriously, but like you're not meant to take it seriously. I don't know. I like that bit quite a lot.
Well, it was like the funniest part of it was not the line, but like the scene it implied had just happened right before this. You know, like it implied that we just came up on the closing moments of an ear funeral. Which is so fucking funny.
It's like that line providing an amazing context to what you just saw and are still looking at.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Ugh. Fantastic. Good pick. Good pick.
Yeah, man.
I had two completely different selections that you did not pick. My runner-up, probably my favorite Frances McDormand moment in the movie, is when she realizes that Ed Helms is actually the bad guy and says in such like a terrified but serious manner, if you're not going to kill me, I have things to do.
That was awesome, dude. That was badass.
And then just dismisses herself. Oh, that was great.
That was,
I loved it.
Ice cold shit, dude. Frances McDormand is goated. She's awesome.
Oh, we love her. We just hate Nomadland. So
we
the
do
other,
hate Nomadland. That is true. Origin story right here, Greg. Full circle from the pilot.
Not because of her. Listen back to episode one if you want to have a bad time. but my favorite line is, like, it's what led me down this mental path of what Darkman was going to be, at least in my head. And it was Liam Neeson discovering, making that initial discovery that the synthetic skin kind of lasts forever in the dark.
Yeah.
And he, like, it's like, it's not disappearing. I can't do the accent. Fuck! Like, what's that? It's working. It's the dark. And then he exaggeratedly leans into the darkness, right into the center frame, and goes, "What is it about the dark? What secret does it hold?" It's just unbelievable.
That was fucking awesome. I know exactly. Like, I hear it in my head, dude. That was a fantastic segment.
It's just like that delivery. He's getting, like, extremely philosophical way too early. And this is, like, before he's even Darkman. So, like, why are you getting this, like, poetic about something that you don't even utilize later in the movie? Yeah. Fantastic.
He never figured out what secrets it holds. He was like, "God, I wonder." Ah, whatever. I'm busy. I gotta think about some other shit. Where's my Invisible Man cosplay?
I guess we'll never know.
What secrets does it hold? I don't know. It was a weird discovery, though.
Well, he ain't getting any deader.
Who would want a fake face at night? I want to go to the fucking carnival. I can't do that shit as Dark Man. He went to the carnival during the day. What the fuck? That's a nighttime activity. I didn't even question it.
You know what? I didn't think about it either.
You go to see all the lights and all that. You don't fucking go to an afternoon carnival. What the fuck? Who has ever done that?
Dude, this just only proves my point.
No, he was going out of his way to make it difficult for himself. He was clearly not in the right state of mind. I think you can explain it away with his, like, little inner goblin that he, like, alludes to often. He's like, "I don't know, I'm like an angry Looney Tune, though. I'm not myself." Like,
at my core, I'm just a spooky little guy.
Yeah. But, like, who really was influenced by Bugs Bunny.
He does that at one point, remember?
Yes. Yes, with this fucking...
He's munching on carrot stalk.
His xenomorph mouth. Does...
Oh, fabulous. All right, Denny. What did you give this one as a critic's score? How would you rate this?
I actually raised it a couple points. I had it at a 34, but after this watch, I bumped it up to a 37. I thought it was a great romp. Damn.
37, yeah. A great romp.
Yep.
Put it on the poster, folks. No, I like that a lot. I think this is a very Denny movie that I was, you know, happy to be on board with. Mm-hmm. I felt good about this one. I had a good time. I think Sam Raimi's campiness isn't always going to win me over. I think I like this one a lot better than Drag Me to Hell. I think that I embraced the movie's silliness, but maybe not completely. I never was bored. It's not even very long, so it just didn't... It never gave me the opportunity to even be bored. I was constantly intrigued by it, but I feel like Sam Raimi's, like, raw intention and imagination on the screen is, like, guaranteed to be, like, a base hit 6 out of 10 for me. And there's just, like, varying degrees of things that'll add to that. I gave this one a 27 out of 40. That's, like, just shy of a 7 out of 10. But still, like, more than comfortably passing. I don't know. I like the sets. I like sets in general. I like the camera work. I like the imagination. I like the creativity. But I don't really see myself watching this again personally, but I had a great time watching it. I had a very, very good time discussing it.
Hell yeah, dude.
With you.
Hell yeah.
Which is which is what it's all about, honestly.
Brother, brother. Yeah, this is, again, joyful, joyful.
We adore thee.
Well, Greg, I think that about wraps it up for Darkman, pun intended. What are we doing next week? Doink!
The Three Stooges get in the moment getting revenge on each other.
Revenge of the Stoogie Boys. I can't wait.
Oh, my God. Next week, this was Denny's pick, so next week is going to be my pick. This is going to be my soft pick that I discussed with Denny beforehand. We're going to be watching Blue Ruin.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the director of Green Room, which we have covered on this podcast, that I called a perfect thriller. We're going to be watching Blue Ruin, based on the hair color of Kate Winslet in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. So,
in the business, we just call it Borderline Blue. You'll know if you know.
You'll know if you know. Denny knows, folks, and he told me, so now I know also. Yeah. That's going to be next week, Blue Ruin. Give it a watch. I'm excited to cover it. And then the week after that will be my surprise pick as my act of revenge on Denny for making me watch Four Rooms. Denny doesn't know what it is yet, and he won't until next week. So tune in for that that special time.
I thought I figured it out earlier today, but I forgot what I thought it was. So if I was right, it might still be a surprise.
You thought it was Ghost Rider, and it's definitely not.
No, I had a better thought after that.
Ooh, text me if you think of it.
Okay.
And I'll let you know if you're on the right path. But yeah, I won't give you too many clues.
Oh wait, I remembered it. I'll text you right now, unless you want me to just say it on the air.
Say it on the air.
Hard Candy.
No, not Hard Candy.
Okay. I was like,
interesting.
Colby showed me that around the time that y'all were living together. So and it's like one of the most fucked up movies I've ever watched in my life. So I thought that might have been your, I'm going to drop a bomb on you, revenge movie.
Yeah, that would have been when I watched it. So yeah, and that's, I like where your head's at, but, unfortunately not correct. I will not tell you when you are correct, though.
Okay.
All right. Stay tuned for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to surprise Denny. I can promise you he won't guess it until then, because boy, oh boy.
It's not Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, is it?
I really thought about that one. That would have been a great one. I really considered that.
That's going on the poll for sure. That's an easy poll inclusion.
Yeah, we could do like a fourth movie for this thing.
I thought we'd do an audience pick.
I'm fucking let's go.
Okay.
Let's go. All right. I like this theme. Yeah, Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. It's going on the poll. It is not movie number 3, but it could be movie number 4. More on that next month, I think. So, folks, that's it. Denny, I'm here to...
Bold of you to promise this series will be ending next month, Craig.
Next month, we're currently on the 19th.
You realize WrestleMania is in April. I'm going to be a very busy man, Craig.
Oh, I totally understand. Luckily, we've got movies for when that happens.
True.
Denny, I'm just going to cap this off by giving you a dish here. I have got a nice bowl, a nice big bowl.
Delicious.
It's got some protein, some seasoning. We got a little starch. We got a nice little composed dish, but it is ice cold. Denny, can you please deliver to the table the ice cold catchphrase?
Boy, I can. I got a big bowl of catchphrase pudding ready for you to slurp up. For Greg Wick, the Legwork Johnson, I'm Denny the Talent Taylor. And this has been Movies for When? We already told you when. But you know what we didn't tell you? What's my cage again?
I'm a policeman. See my badge?